Superbrain is a labour of love. Alas, no podcast can survive on love alone. We don't have a sponsor, so we need your support for Superbrain to stay alive and kicking. You can make a one-off donation by following the Support This Show link in the show or episode description.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
My name is Sabina Brennan, and you are listening to Superbrain, the podcast for everyone with a brain. This week, I spoke with the lovely Lauren White Murphy, who developed an amazing ability to paint after receiving a diagnosis of MS a few short weeks before her 30th birthday. During the course of Monday's conversation, I made reference to savant skills, which I promised to talk about in this booster shot. So here goes. Essentially, savant is a word used to describe someone who has detailed knowledge in a specialised field like science or literature. In general parlance, a savant is a person of learning. The word comes from the French verb savoir, which means to know. Savant, when paired with the word syndrome, takes on a slightly different meaning in that the savant skill doesn't arise as a consequence of the traditional type of study that we would associate with this kind of knowledge that comes from learning. Savant syndrome can be either congenital or acquired. Congenital savant syndrome describes a condition where individuals with intellectual disabilities or autistic disorder have some incredible ability that emerges in childhood. Now, this is often described as an island of genius that stands in marked contrast to their overall abilities. So, for example, the real-life inspiration for the fictional character played by Dustin Hoffman in the 1988 movie Rain Man has actually memorized over 6,000 books. He has encyclopedic knowledge of geography, music, history, literature, sports, and so much more. He can name all of the US area codes and major city postcodes, or zip codes as they're called in the US, and he can tell you precisely how to get from one US city to another and how to get around that city street by street. He reads incredibly rapidly, simultaneously scanning one page with his left eye and one with his right eye. Now, MRI scans now show that he has considerable damage to his nervous system. Most notably is the absence of what's referred to as a corpus callosum. And basically, that's a part of our brain that is full of connections, white matter, that allow your left side of your brain talk and communicate to the right side of your brain. So he has none whatsoever. So that actually obviously explains how he can actually read one page with one side of his brain and the other at the same time with the other side of his brain. But anyway, yeah, I mean, people with savant syndrome have some incredible abilities. I remember seeing a documentary once, I think it was, of a young boy who had this incredible capacity to draw entire cities or buildings, literally to replicate them in the tiniest detail after only looking at them once. They are really just incredible abilities. And obviously, in people with intellectual disabilities or autism, they stand out because of the individual's other abilities. In the acquired form of savant syndrome, astonishing new abilities, typically in music, art or maths, appear unexpectedly. Following a head injury or a stroke or other disease or incident involving the brain or the central nervous system. Well, the central nervous system includes the brain. Now, the first specific description of savant syndrome, although people with savant syndrome have been described as far back as the 18th century. The first specific description of savant syndrome was given in an 1887 lecture in London by Dr. J. Langdon Down. He's the British physician best known for his description of the genetic condition we now know as Down syndrome. During the lecture, Down presented 10 cases of individuals with special abilities and phenomenal memory that are very similar to cases that are described and reported today. For example, there was the patient who could recite the rise and fall of the Roman Empire verbatim, forwards and backwards. The other cases included children who had exceptional drawing skills, musical ability, arithmetical genius, or timekeeping skills. They could tell time or keep time without reference to a watch or a clock or any other device. And now I'm going to quote, they have these skills despite having a comparative blank in all the other faculties of the mind. Now that's Down's words, not mine. But Down coined the term idiot savant, with idiot at the time being an accepted classification of an individual with an IQ below 25. To put that in context, an average IQ tends to fall between 90 and 109. Actually, aside from the pejorative nature of the word idiot, the term idiot savant was actually inaccurate, since all cases occur in individuals with IQs higher than 40. Later, the term autistic savant came into use and replaced idiot savant, but that has since been replaced by savant syndrome for two reasons. Mainly, we have a shift to use person first language. So instead of referring to someone by their disability, like an autistic savant, we now refer to the person first. So a person living with savant syndrome or a person with savant syndrome. And this really is, because a person is much more than their condition, their disorder or their disease. So that I feel has been a very positive move forward. And the second reason is for accuracy, because in actuality, only 50% of people with savant syndrome have autistic disorder. The remaining 50% are formed from people who have developmental disabilities, intellectual disabilities or other injury or disease affecting the central nervous system. So therefore, that means that not all autistic people have savant syndrome and not all people with savant syndrome have autistic disorder. In fact, it's thought that about 1 in 10 individuals with autism may have some sort of special savant skill. Researchers have described how the savant skill can actually evolve, moving from replication to improvisation and actually on to creation. So many people with savant syndrome have an incredible capacity for literal replication of things that they see or that they hear. For example, Leslie Lemke, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, he was able to play back Tchaikovsky's first piano concerto flawlessly at the age of 14, having heard it for the first time as a theme song to a television movie. From there, Leslie moved over time from this literal replication, which he can still do, to improvisation. So it seems that he kind of became bored with just reproducing what he heard and started to improvise around it. And actually, apparently in more recent years, he has moved now to the creation of entirely new songs that he composes, plays and sings. And this particular pattern of replication to improvisation to creation has been demonstrated in other musical savants. There was one case reported whereby a savant lost her special skills when she was trained in other skills. But that seems to be the exception rather than the rule, according to people who carry out detailed research in this area.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah. So, few other interesting facts about savant syndrome. Males outnumber females in both savant syndrome and autism. I think in the syndrome, it's about 6-1. In autism, it's about 4-1. The reason that males outnumber females are not known for sure. One hypothesis put forward is that in males, particularly in the male fetus, the testosterone that's circulating can reach very high levels and can impair the brain cell functioning in the left hemisphere. And that can actually lead to an enlargement and shift in the dominance between the left and right hemisphere, favouring skills that are associated with the right hemisphere. You know, it's so funny that given all the things that humans can do, it is really interesting that savant skills generally fall under five categories: music, art, maths, mechanical or spatial skills, and this kind of thing called calendar calculating, which is a bit of a mad one, but it's people able to say what date, etc. it was in such and such a year, etc. The music skills generally are related to performance, so most often piano ability, but also perfect pitch. Less often, but it does occur in composition and also an ability to play multiple instruments. Art, the skill is usually drawing, painting or sculpting. In maths, this thing called lightning calculation. So it's an incredible ability to calculate, for example, how many seconds have passed in a man's life who is aged 77 days and 12 minutes. You know, there's one individual can do that within 90 seconds and produce the correct answer adjusted for leap years, etc. Like, it's just phenomenal stuff. So that's lightning calculation, but also ability to compute things like prime numbers. And in these instances, it is in the absence of often very basic arithmetic skills, barely being able to count, let alone do anything complex mathematically, and yet they can do these incredible calculations. The next area then would be mechanical or spatial skills. So mechanical skills. So some of the individuals with savant syndrome, they can actually measure distance precisely without any instruments, and they can construct models of structures with absolute accuracy. They also, their spatial skills, they actually have the capacity to make maps, and they're really brilliant at finding their direction. Savant syndrome also, the skills have been sort of classified along a dimension, I suppose, with splinter skills being described as an obsessive preoccupation or memorization, often related to music or trivia or things like license plate numbers or maps or facts or even obscure things like the sounds that particular washing machines make. The next type that has been described in terms of savant skills are talented. So people who maybe have a cognitive impairment or intellectual disability whose musical, artistic or other skills stand in sharp contrast to their other abilities. And then there's prodigious, which is where this special skill is so outstanding that it would be spectacular even in an individual who doesn't have impairment. And according to the records, there's really only about 100 known to have that kind of special skill. And these special skills always appear to be accompanied by remarkable memory. And sometimes this memory is distinguished from the kind of memory that you and I have, which is semantic memory, you know, remembering facts, that for some reason, whatever's going on in the brain, it's more like a habit rather than the kind of memory that you and I would ordinarily consider or tap into when we're trying to remember dates or places or quotes from a book or whatever. Briefly then, talking about the acquired savant skills, they appear in what would be described as neurotypical individuals following some sort of incident involving their brain, an injury or a disease. And that can happen any time across the lifespan. And we've seen that, I think I mentioned it in Monday's podcast. We've seen savant-like abilities emerge in previously healthy older adults who actually go on to develop frontotemporal dementia. And there's also been fascinating reports of what is referred to as sudden savant syndrome. So this is where an ordinary Joe Bloggs or Joanna Bloggs suddenly have a spontaneous epiphany-like moment where they suddenly understand music or art or maths. Essentially, they suddenly become geniuses. So they're kind of distinct from the acquired savant syndrome because they don't appear to have any injury. Maybe it's just that our tools, our neuroscience and imaging tools aren't refined enough to demonstrate or to find some underlying change. But for now, they're kind of described as sudden savant syndrome. And gosh, there's some incredible stories. I'm going to just give you a little taster, and I'll share a link to a Scientific American article that actually talks about some of these cases in more detail. So, for example, there's the case of MF. Now, she's described as a 43-year-old woman that she just woke up one night in 2016, which what she referred to as this urgent need to draw a multitude of triangles. And I suppose this is why chatting to Lauren on Monday in the episode, why it sparked me to think of these savant syndromes, because I had read an interview with Lauren where she described just this urgent desire to go down and buy some art materials and start drawing and painting. But this woman, she had this mad desire to draw a multitude of triangles, and they quickly evolved into a web of complex abstract designs. And this drawing was actually compulsive, and she kind of said she continued to do it over the next 3 days at a really intense level. She'd absolutely no training in art or no prior interest in it. I mean, she could just completely lose herself in this art, and her first piece of work, I believe, took 2 weeks to complete. And 3 months after her epiphany, she had created 15 pieces whose styles were reminiscent of famous artists, including Frida Kahlo and Picasso. And now she actually spends about 8 hours a day working on her art in addition to her job as a real estate agent. There's some other interesting cases on that Scientific American article. I'll share it in the show notes and also in the blog. The reason that these stories of individuals with savant syndrome interest me is, I suppose, well, because I'm fascinated by the human brain. But a lot of what we know about the human brain has come from what we have learned when things go wrong. So when people have disease or when they've had a brain injury, we've learned when they lose certain capabilities, that's because the knife went through X part of their brain and severed the area, you know, damaged the area involved in that particular area. This is kind of, in a way, the reverse. People having these exceptional abilities and skills. And I suppose what excites me and why I will always keep an eye on this kind of research is I wonder, do we all have this innate genius lying dormant? And if we do research in this area, can we find ways to unleash these incredible abilities without brain injury or disease or other form of damage? You know, perhaps can we find a way in so that we can release the genius that lies within our brains?
My name is Sabina Brennan, and you have been listening to Superbrain, the podcast for everyone with a brain. My aim for Boosters is to share insights from neuroscience, psychology, and from my own life that might help you to better understand why we do the things we do, how we can reach our true potential and move from just surviving to thriving in life. If there's anything in particular you'd like me to cover in an upcoming booster shot, please do let me know. You'll find me on Instagram at Sabina Brennan and Twitter at Sabina_Brennan. You can, of course, also email me at info@superbrain.ie. For the price of a coffee, you can listen to Superbrain ad-free over on patreon.com/superbrain. I couldn't do this show without my brilliant editor, Emily Burke, and there'd be no point in doing the show at all without you, my wonderful listeners. So thank you for tuning in today. Tune in on Monday for another fascinating interview with an inspiring guest, and on Thursday for another booster shot from me. My name is Sabina Brennan. You have been listening to Superbrain, the podcast for everyone with a brain.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.